vivant en squat à Marseille et avec qui on s'organise. L'idée est d'échanger avec elles et eux sur leur parcours, leurs difficultés et leurs luttes quotidiennes, invisibilisées dans l'espace public et médiatique. Bonsoir à tous, bienvenue sur les ondes de Radio Galère 88.4 à l'écoute de Alors la Zone, ça dit squat. Aujourd'hui, on vous a concocté une émission en direct du studio qu'on appellera AUP 1, Darmanin 0. C'est le moment pour celles et ceux d'entre vous qui ne connaissent pas encore la fameuse AUP, l'association des usagers de la PADA, de les rencontrer. Et pour les autres, de prendre le temps d'écouter cette histoire racontée par celles qui l'ont faite et leur lutte toujours en cours. On va d'abord parler des débuts de l'AUP, de ses objectifs, son organisation, ses envies et ses luttes. Ce sera l'occasion de faire un état des lieux sur ce qui s'y est passé et sur ce qui s'y passe en ce moment. En deuxième partie d'émission, on voulait vous restituer quelques prises de parole qui ont eu lieu lors de la première Assemblée Générale contre la loi immigration, dite loi Darmanin. Elle a été organisée le 16 janvier par plusieurs collectifs, dont l'AUP, mais aussi RESF, Réseau d'éducation sans frontières, le Mamba, l'association citoyen-citoyenne du 6-8, le CHO3, le collectif des habitants organisés du 3e. Et on laissera nos amis de l'AUP ici présents rebondir à ce sujet. AUP 1, Darmanin 0. On espère bien marquer plus de buts encore contre Darmanin. Bonne émission à vous, bonne écoute.
Merci Coco pour cette introduction. Cette émission va être en français et en anglais parce qu'on est avec des personnes ici qui parlent français et d'autres qui parlent anglais. Donc ne vous étonnez pas que ça passe de l'un à l'autre. Moi c'est Thomas, je suis avec Sacha et I am Thomas, I am with Sacha and we got as guest today Amadou. Senesi and Usman from the AUP.
And we will just have a bit of the voice of Aliou, who is one of the members of the AUP and a really active member. And he was speaking during a gathering against 115 one year ago, and we were there to register, and so we wanted to introduce this emission with his voice while he was speaking about the AUP and what is this association. We are listening to him.
En octobre 2017, à mon arrivée, je ne savais pas où aller pour chercher un hébergement. J'ai dormi à la gare Saint-Michel. Et on m'a dit d'appeler Los Angeles pour avoir un hébergement. Je ne parlais pas français. C'était difficile pour moi pour appeler Los Angeles. On m'a dit d'aller à l'ADG Morso. C'est un accueil du jour à la Porte d'Aix. Là-bas, ils ont appelé Los Angeles pour moi. 3 jours attendre pour 1 mois d'hébergement. Au bout d'un mois, je suis obligé de sortir du foyer et je suis à la rue une fois. Je reste 5 jours dehors. L'ADG Morso rappelé le 115 et bien voilà pour 9 jours au foyer. Puis de nouveau à la rue. Je cherche un hébergement et on me dit d'aller au 51 boulevard Dada. Et là, je reste 10 ans dans ce squat. Je ne savais pas que c'était un squat. Pourquoi il y avait des maisons vides alors que c'était sa maison. Le 14 novembre 2019, la police nous expulsait. Avec aussi le dysfonctionnement de la plateforme d'accueil des demandeurs d'asile, a nous donné envie de monter une association pour aider les demandeurs d'asile qui sont domiciliés avec la plateforme d'accueil des demandeurs d'asile à Marseille. Il y a 7000 demandeurs d'asile domiciliés à la PADA. Il y a 1000 qui sont hébergés dans les CADA et OUDA. Et il y a 1000 qui sont hébergés dans les hébergements urgence 115. Les 5000 sont obligés de vivre dans les squats et dans la rue. Est-ce que ça c'est normal? On est en France, un pays des droits de l'homme. Là où il dit qu'un toit, c'est un droit. Mais les gens, souvent, ils restent dans la rue. On ne peut pas comprendre ça. Pour trouver la solution de l'hébergement pour les adhérents de notre association, on est en cours de la création d'un cadre autogéré. Merci.
Thank you, Aliou, for this testimony. It was 1 year ago. Since then, a lot of things happen. Now in Marseille, the AUP is quite famous. Like you've got some articles, some newspaper talk about you, and a lot of people know who you are when we are speaking about AUP. So we wanted to do this broadcast today about you guys, your history, how this collective of people have started at one point, and then what is like the stuff going on now, and like what is the future for you? So yeah, maybe like to start like a Senesi, like how was that for you, like the beginning of all this story of your collective?
Actually, good evening. My name is Senesi. I come from Sierra Leone. Like, it's a long story. Like, the struggle started at Boulevard Dada. We were in Boulevard Dada at the time when we were evicted there. We suffered a lot. They went with us to the Jiminas. From the Jiminas, when they took us, they told us that at that night, we will sleep there for one night. Then from there in the morning also, we have to go out. So, like, it was very... It was very stressful for us. Then after, like, there in the honor of the Jiminas, we come together, we mobilize each other. We said, no, if there is no vacance, no provision for us, we will not go out. So it was that time now we meet some collective also. Then from there, like, we struggle a lot. Then after, like, with a lot of collective, like, we do a lot of demonstration. Then from there, they provide for us some hotels, accommodation issue. From there now, with the Guinean Association also, we come together with our own experience, because when we come to Marseille here, we suffered a lot. We sleep outside. There was no accommodation for us, nobody to help us. So with this particular experience now that we have, we said now, let us think about something, a solution, how we also we can do something for our brothers and sisters, for them not to sleep outside again, then not to go through this particular experience. So with the Guinean Association also, AFGAM, so we come together therein, we decided to create this particular association, AUP, Association Usagers de la PADA.
So if we go back at that time of you were speaking about Boulevard Dada, what was Boulevard Dada?
Well, Boulevard Dada, it was a squat. We are in a lot of people we are staying. People with documents, people without documents, family people, more than 100 people we are staying there. At that time, like the people for us, when we went there, because we come, we are sleeping outside, we don't have any solution. We call 115 for more than how many times, like there was no place. We were sleeping outside for more than 1 month, 2 months sometimes. So like we have some friends also that directed us. They said, there is a place at Boulevard Dada. The name of the place is Boulevard Dada. You can go there, but you have to pay money to the owners of the place. So they directed us there. They give us a contact. We went there also. We negotiate with the people, and the people, like, it was a squat. They give us a room. They said, okay, now take this one room. Then from there, you have to pay us 350 euro. So Boulevard Dada, it was a squat actually.
So when was it? Like, just to like put it in the history for people.
Yes, like May. I went there 2017.
Okay. And so one night the police came.
Yeah, definitely. It was not at night. It was in the morning.
Okay.
The police came in the morning. If I don't forget, 2019 to 2020, something like that. They came in the morning at the main gate. They knocked the door. They said, we have to leave the place by 2 o'clock. Wow. Then we said, why? They said, no, because of our security reason. So we said, no, there is no problem, because they said the building have a problem. Then there was a problem.
They were scary at that time because of the building of Rue d'Aubagne and et cetera. And they were like trying to take that as an excuse, like to evict all of you.
Well, for me, I don't know anything about that, because they never explained to us anything about that. They just told us that this building, like, it have a problem. There is a lot of problem that is going on here because of your security purpose. Like, you have to leave by 2 o'clock. So this was just what they told us. But we were thinking that it was a joke. So everybody was making fun of the situation also. Yes.
You were not believing it.
Yeah, we never believe it. So like by 12 o'clock in the afternoon now, we saw a lot of police cars and a lot of different people. They were just standing at the in front of the building like this. They knocked, they said everybody should park their properties to go outside. We said, why? So like it was very complicated and very stressful for us. And within that time, there was a lot of rain. It was raining a lot.
Why was it such a surprise? Did you know that it was a squat, or the fact that you were paying to someone for this house, it makes you believe that it was legal or something like that? Like
before, when we come to Marcel, newly, like, we don't know anything. The difference between squat or not squat. What we are looking for, like, is accommodation, a place where we can rescue our life. But when we come there, the people told us that they are the owner of the place. The place is very legal. But when we go in there now, we started paying a money. Therein now, like, we have the information that this place is not a legal place, it's a squat. Mm.
Mm. And where were the fake owners during the eviction? Did you see them or?
No, nobody shows face, because there was a lot of police. Nobody shows face.
Yeah,
so because
sure.
They know that there is something which is illegal. Yeah, they disappeared at that moment.
So, so you were talking also about the gymnast. So after that, after this eviction, the police came. And so what happened about like all these people who were living in this squat?
Like all these people, we were taking at the gymnast at Juliet. I just forget the name of the place. That night, as I said before, they asked us, a representative from the La Mairie come again and said, this is a community place wherein a lot of children, they used to play. So like you will just stay here for night, this night. Then in the morning, you have to go outside to go and find another place. We told them that we said, how this one can be possible? You remove us from our place. You never give us any place. He told us that, let's leave the place, have a problem. You will take us to a comfortable place. Then you bring us here. You said, after also, we have to leave this place. We are going nowhere, because the state is the one that's supposed to give us accommodation. Now, the state did not give us accommodation. We find accommodation for ourselves. Therein, we used to pay money, our rentage, everything. Then if you remove us there, you put us to the gymnast also. Then at this night, he said, for just one night, we will sleep here. Then after in the morning, we will go out. We told them that if you want to do to us anything, like, you can come with your force, you do to us anything, but we are not going anywhere until you find for us a solution, because there was a lot of children, girls, like a lot of people. So it was very complicated.
So where all these people went after that? They went to the hotel, back to the Sankans, or back to the street?
No, they never went to the street. After when we mobilized ourselves, with a lot of meeting within ourselves, we said that we will not go out of this place. They come with police the next day. The police come. We told them that we will not go out of that particular place. They said, okay, they are going to prepare. After, if we don't come, they will use a force on us. So therein, we come begin to contact with a lot of different people also. Like, they begin to explain to us about the system. We have some journalists also. They begin to intervene us. Like, we explain the situation. They begin to publish it. So when they come now, the next day now, they said, okay, now we will take you to a place wherein you will go and stay just for 1 week or 10 days. We asked them after that. They said they don't know. So we told them that if this is the case, instead of we go there for 1 week or 10 days, that 1 week we will take there or 10 days we will take there, because you don't know about our future for accommodation. We prefer to stay in this particular gym. And as for this 1 week or these 10 days. So
one,
we stayed there.
You know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then what happened? Like, because... Finally, what did you do? Because the situation was completely blocked. You were in a gymnasium, and then journalists were there.
Sure.
And maybe my first question is Who did you meet at that moment? Like, who were your allies in that particular moment? Like, journalists were a bit?
Yes, the journalists were there. The Mamba people were there, association Mamba. The 5 November were there also with another different association also. Human rights activists, everybody was there also. With a lot of pressure that we put also that we are not going out of that particular place. And obviously, the kids that we are going to school in that particular surrounding, all the time, we see the kids, they come, they wanted to come inside the gymnasium to come and play, but it was very difficult. They don't have access. So it was a lot of pressure also. So there was a lot of different collective association also that come that want to responsible to give us hotel. What we said now to them, now we will not live here until we have an agreement within the people that will take care of us. And the agreement is we need a permanent solution for us wherein we can stay in a place. Then from there, we can have a kitchen, this, everything, like with our family to stay there. So therein, we have another association also that they come. They said, if this is the case now, like, we will take this particular contract. Everybody that is in the gymnasium, you have to sign the contract until they give you permanent accommodation.
And so people in the gymnasium accepted to sign, like, to struggle for this agreement, like nobody wanted to move. Nobody wanted to go to an hotel for 10 days or...
Yeah, definitely. The agreement was all of us. We have a meeting first because we knew that time if we go to hotel for 10 days, after 10 days, like, they will remove everybody at the streets. So because of that, we have agreement that we need to have a paperwork, like everybody should sign, like we need a permanent solution. Without that, like, we will never go outside. So the institution, like the France Horizon, I don't know if it's an association or what, they come in. So, like, we and them now, like, we have the agreements now. They said they will send us to different hotel. Then after, if the hotel, like, for 1 month, if it's finished, they will renew it again. It finished, they will renew it again. This was how, like, they started doing it, everything. The people that we are in the system, like, normal procedure, from there, they give them their places, which is the cadre places. The people that we are in the Dublin procedure, like the UDA, this is how they begin to put everybody in places now. Like, we have our solution for ourselves.
And so you just occupied the building, or did you have other way to act? Like, did you do demonstrations or things like that to win that time, or you were just saying there, staying there, saying we will not move?
Which building are you talking about?
Gymnasium.
Oh, the gymnasium, like, because we are not the one that occupy. They come with us there. They put us there.
Yeah, sure.
They said they will give us accommodation. After they said we need to leave the place to go out. And obviously, trust me, we cannot go out if there is no accommodation, because he never meet us on the streets. We were living comfortable with our families, everything. Then you come, you remove us, you put us somewhere. Then instead of finding a solution, you said in the morning we have to go out. So this one, we cannot not do it. So we decided to stay there until they find for us a solution.
Okay.
So did you find a solution finally?
Yeah, finally, like we find a solution now.
Okay. Yeah, now, but at the time...
We find a solution because after, like, the agreement, they send everybody to hotels.
Okay.
Then from there, they begin to give people, like, the cadre places, everything like that.
So that was, like, one of the first time of, like, a gathering of political organization of between some people who were, like, the beginning of AUP without the name.
We never think about any association like AUP, anything. We never think about anything. What we are fighting for is how we should get our accommodation. Because we were living in Boulevard Dada for more than 2-3 years now. We know each other very well, like, without any problem. So when situation rise up like this, none of us want to stay outside. So this was why, because of the peace that was between us, like, they struggle, we do a lot of manifestation, everything, so they give each other a... they give all of us a place.
For sure. But, and also, like, so you were speaking about the housing. I would like to find an accommodation in Marseille and, like, to have an accommodation for you guys. And also, like, one of the other like a big startup, maybe your collective is a red market between the pandemic situation of COVID-19. Can you speak a bit about it?
I don't understand your question.
Oh, sorry. Between the COVID, mm-hmm. The AUP, but the, not the AUP, there were a red market, what we call a red market, but I'm not sure.
This time we already created the association.
Oh, okay, AUP. It was already created.
Yes.
Sorry.
It was because of after we have the accommodation where they put us to the hotels, yeah. Different hotels. This was the time, like with the Guinean Association, Afghan also, because they have their own association in Marseille here. They are very united also, and where we are staying, there were 7 nationalities at Boulevard Dada.
Okay.
Boulevard Dada, up to 7 nationalities there. So the Sierra Leoneans also, with the Guineans also, with the other different people also. After when they give us the hotel, different hotel, we come together also for us, because with the lot of Cinq Novam, like Mamba and other different people like Celine, we come together. We said, now we already experienced a lot of struggle. So now we want to build something. We want to create association on our own. This was how, like, we created the AUP, the association, with the help of different people.
So it was a first root in that first struggle of the gymnasium.
Yeah,
of but then it's only when you had your hotel, like somewhere an accommodation, that it was possible to create the AUP, and you never lose the links with that different collectives.
Sure, we never. Wow. We still have a good links with them. Yeah.
Sure.
Why was it important, like, to create this association for you at that time?
At that time, because we suffered a lot. When I come to Marseille, I sleep outside for more than 2 months. Aliou, Amadou, a lot of different people also, they experience the same thing. Without any help, no accommodation, no food. Because of those things, some of us will lose our administrative paperwork also. No guidance, no nothing. So with all those experiences that we have also, this was why we said, now, this is not for us now. But we have another migrant also that are coming at the back also. This is very important. Let's do something, create an association also. How, when these people, they come, for them not to experience like what we experienced before. So this was why we create this particular association.
And you guys, will you say the same thing? Like, I don't know if you were here at the creation of the AUP, but then you join it. And do you join what Senesi was saying? Like, is it your reason to be part of the AUP, what he just said, or do you want to add some things?
Bonjour tout le monde. En fait, m'excuser parce que moi, je vais m'exprimer en français. En fait, l'association AIP est née vers mars 2020. Donc, en fait, l'association a été créée d'abord au nombre d'une certaine personne, 4-3 personnes, mais c'est grâce à la collaboration de certaines associations qui est là où moi je suis à l'heure actuelle, qui s'appelle ARCAM. C'est association ressortissante guinéenne et amis de Marseille. Donc, c'est une association qui est créée aussi, ça fait depuis 2017 à 2018. Donc, mais avec tout ce qu'on avait passé à Marseille, les questions de demande, questions de démarches administratives, la souffrance, tout ce qu'on avait vécu, donc du coup, d'un seul coup, on est réunis, on a dit bon, il faut qu'on essaie de trouver une solution quand même pour ne pas que d'autres personnes qui vont venir derrière nous, qu'ils vont souffrir la même chose qu'on est en train de souffrir pour l'instant. Donc du coup, il y avait ARCAM qui était en place et nous, parce que moi j'ai fait partie à l'ARCAM, je suis le vice-président de l'ARCAM, en même temps je suis le membre aussi fondateur de l'AIP. Donc on a jugé nécessaire maintenant de créer l'AIP. Parce qu'on voit quand même des gens qui viennent derrière nous, c'est des personnes qui ne sont jamais allées à l'école, même s'ils reçoivent des courriers, ils ne savent pas quoi faire. Et en fait, c'est des courriers des gens qui doivent aller, que ce soit à l'OFPRA ou bien à la CNDA. Des fois, la PADA, ils sont désorganisés. En fait, ils ne disent pas réellement les gens c'est quoi ça signifie le courrier, en fait, pour expliquer aux gens normalement qu'est-ce que ça signifie. Des fois, il y a des gens qui ont des courriers normaux qui doivent aller, par exemple, demain à Paris ou bien à la CNDA. Donc, ils ne savent pas quoi. Donc, ils savent pas quoi faire où ils doivent aller. Parce que nous, nous sommes dans le terrain et on voit tous les jours comment ça se passe. Donc, du coup, on a eu l'idée. On dit, bon, ce qu'on va faire, il faut qu'on essaie de trouver une solution pour créer cette association et on continue le combat. Donc, c'est dans ça que l'AIP est née.
Et en quoi l'AUP, du coup, ça venait compléter ce que fait l'ARGAM, du coup? Enfin, tu vois, comme il y avait déjà une association, et là, l'idée, c'est d'en créer une deuxième. Pourquoi?
Et en fait, l'ARGAM et l'AIP, c'était pas pareil. En fait, ARGAM, c'est une association pour réunir nous, les ressortissants du même pays. Et surtout, c'est pas que la Guinée, en fait. C'est tout ce qui veut nous rejoindre. C'est pour cela qu'on a dit ARGAM, association ressortissante guinéenne et amis, que ce soit malien, Côte d'Ivoire, vous pouvez nous rejoindre en fait pour qu'on puisse se donner les mains et qu'on fait en fait. C'est une association par exemple pour des gens qui sont déjà abandonnés, qui sont dans la procédure, qui sont déjà abandonnés, qui sont ni CMI, ni quelque chose à soigner donc. Qu'on puisse au moins, si l'État ne vient pas en aide, au moins qu'on trouve une solution, au moins pour guider ces personnes-là dans les endroits-là, ils peuvent aller bénéficier des soins, en fait. Et c'est dans ça, bon, on a trouvé une idée, bon, pourquoi pas créer l'AIP. L'AIP, en fait, c'est une association spécialisée au niveau de l'administration pour défendre, que ce soit toutes les démarches administratives. Donc, c'était ça, en fait, c'était la différence entre l'AIP et...
Et moi, je me demandais du coup, donc dans l'AUP, c'est l'association des usagers de la PADA. Ouais. Avoir une association d'usagers, c'est-à-dire que c'est les personnes qui sont dans l'association, qui sont les bénéficiaires de la même chose. Alors, à la différence d'autres associations en France, où c'est des associations, je sais pas, je pense à Médecins du Monde, où c'est des gens qui vont donner de l'aide ou accompagner, comme il y a d'autres associations qui font de l'aide administrative. Mais là, donc, pour l'AUP, c'est vous-même qui produisez de l'aide pour des personnes comme vous, quoi, comme pour d'autres usagers, quoi.
Oui, c'est ça. En fait, nous-mêmes, on produisait des aides pour d'autres personnes. En fait, c'est des bénévoles, en fait. Des bénévoles, par exemple, moi, j'ai déjà... Bon, par exemple, Sanoussi, il a déjà souffert beaucoup au niveau de l'administration. Comment aller à la préfecture, comment prendre des rendez-vous, là où ça doit être passé, tout. Il connaît toutes ces démarches. Mais pour des femmes qui vont venir, des femmes qui ne savent pas, qui ne sont même pas des assistantes sociales, qui savent pas où aller. Donc, du coup, lui, il peut apporter son soutenance à ces personnes. Donc, comme moi, par exemple, j'ai déjà allé à l'école, je sais comment lire un courrier, je sais comment guider une personne. Donc, pour ne pas que lui, il comprenne l'anglais, moi, je comprends français. Pourquoi pas qu'on associe ensemble et qu'on puisse au moins faire quelque chose pour ces gens-là. C'est des gens qui ne savent même pas comment, par exemple, dire bonjour. Si tu dis bonjour, il peut répondre, mais à part de ça, il ne pouvait pas, en fait. Donc, c'est ça l'idée, en fait.
OK. Maybe we can listen to some music, like to have a little break. And we'll come back to Radio Galère. Alors, la zone s'est dit squat in a few minutes. Yeah.
Et nous revoici sur Radio Galère. Alors la zone s'est dit squatte, and I switch in English just now. So we are still with Senesi, Ousmane, and Amadou. And now we wanted to speak about two of the main steps that we just thought about when we were thinking about the AUP, but maybe you can correct us and say that it was not the main steps. But the first one was the red market, and we thought that it was really important to tackle this this subject with you. So what is the red market, maybe to begin?
Et je vais, en fait, le red market, on a commencé le red market pendant le confinement. En fait, à l'AUP, avant, on ne faisait pas de red market, mais c'était l'association Mamba qui faisait des red market pendant le confinement. Donc, du coup, nous, on part à côté de El Mamba pour les assister, parce que c'est des choses qui nous concernent, en fait, qui concernent tous les membres qui sont dans l'AIP.
Est-ce que tu peux nous dire un peu, ça a consisté quoi un red market, pour expliquer aux gens qui ne connaissent pas, parce que
En fait, le red market, c'est la distribution des colis alimentaires, par exemple, des personnes vulnérabilités, en fait, des personnes qui sont en vulnérabilité, par exemple, du riz, des légumes, des savons, des couches pour des femmes qui sont des bébés, voilà, c'est des choses comme ça, en fait.
Et ça se passait, c'était quoi un peu, ça se passait tous les combien?
Avant, pendant le confinement, ça se passe presque tous les jours. Tous les jours, parce que y avait, en fait, les gens ne sortent pas, il n'y avait pas de travail, donc tout le monde est chez lui. Avant, c'était tous les jours. Et voilà, maintenant, parce que nous, on a continué le Red Market, parce qu'avant, pendant le confinement, c'était tous les jours, mais on travaille avec Mamba, El Mamba, donc. Comme ils sont allés pas, comme le confinement est déjà fini, donc du coup ils sont décidés de s'arrêter. Mais depuis qu'ils sont arrêtés, nous on a gêné certes de continuer le marché rouge. Mais nous maintenant on le fait chaque samedi de 9h à midi. De 9h à midi, donc c'était ça.
Ok, et maybe Ousmane, can you say to us why it was important for you, like at the beginning with the confinement, but also now, to this decision to continue after that Mamba just decides to stop the rent market? Why was it important for you to continue it?
Yes, my name is Hussein Mboub. I'm from Gambia. So when I come to France, it was 2001. AUP was created and formed already. So when I was here, I was not in the system. I don't have food. I used to go to Mamba to have some to collect some food to eat. It's where I know Senushi. Then I was living in a squat in Liberation Boulevard. It's where I know Senushi used to come there. Sometimes he told me you have to come in the red market to collect some food so that you can help yourself. So I used to come to the red market to collect food so that I have something to eat. And then later they evicted the place where I was living, so I don't have the place. So they created the place Saint Basil. So I was living in Saint Basil before I have my kada.
So you think that one of the reasons for you to continue the red market is that at first you were going to the red markets to have some food. But then at one point are you still using the red market, and are you working for the red market or both?
Yeah, both, because right now I used to help Bayala in the red market. We used to go to take food in the Marsa.
In the mine, yes.
In the mine, we used to go there every Thursday, 7 in the morning, 7, like 7:30. Used to go there to collect food in the main there. Yes, I used to help him because it's very important, because some people, they really depend on this food distribution, because they don't have food, they don't have money from the government, and some of them are not working. So this food distribution is very important for many people.
living in Marseille. So I want this project to continue because it's helping a lot.
How many people do you think are concerned by the red market? How many people are coming?
150 or sometimes 100, it is depend. Yeah, but a lot of people, we receive a lot of people every Saturday.
And Sasha, you were speaking about another step of the AUP. We were talking about the squad of Beaumont, Rue Beaumont. Can you speak a bit about that time of the collective and what happened there?
Yeah, Beaumont, it's a squad which was opened like 2020, something in February like that. By the asylum seekers also, because there was a lot of people like actually who were living outside, so like they don't have any solution, and the squat was opened by them also. More than 50 people like we are living there also, even me also, like I went there, I lived there for some times, then after like I started helping like the people also with the administrative work, like with the LCA and other different stuff, because we went to the tribunal one time, two times now, so like they asked the people to leave. But at that particular time at the Bomo, there was a lot of problem, because like the people, the inhabitant that we are living in the place, for them, they respect each other, but the problem is that like the music system, like this one, there is no control. Yes.
That was the main issue.
Yes. There was no control. There was no control because, like, for example, when people, they come out, like, if you are in your room, you play music as the way you want, you put the sound, the volume up. Like, when somebody come and said, hey, you are disturbing me, this one also, like, it's a lot of mess. They quarrel a lot of problem also. Then the biggest problem also that used to happen in Beaumont also, like the people, the inhabitants, their friends that used to come and visit them from outside, they leave their places, they come. When they come, they create a lot of problem in the squat also. And when they create this problem, they leave the inhabitant there, from there they go. And with that also, the neighbors that we are around also, like all the time, like the neighbors, we are complaining a lot. This one was very frustrated at this particular place. But at Beaumont, we spend there something maximum like 8 months.
Okay.
Before they come and remove everybody there.
Who?
The police. I said, no.
It must be the police.
Really? As you already know. It must be the police. So it's only police that can go and remove you where you used to stay. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's true. There is something that will be always sure... it's police who came to evict people. But with Beaumont, what was the project at first? Like, you said that you opened it because people need it. Mm-hmm. But what was your idea, just to host that people? Or what was your idea? Because it's something to, like... have a building with an association. So in the objectives of the association, what were the objectives with that building?
The beginning of Beaumont, like we don't have any objective. Like in the future, the only objective that we have, like the people that we are outside, sleeping outside, for them to be accommodated. So like when the place was open, so like the people go, they occupy the place. And there, the only thing that we do, like we talk to the French, Italians, and the European people also. Let me say the European people, everybody. So, like, for them to come and begin to help the people, like, for take them French classes in the building there. This one, we do it. But we never think about any another plan, like, in the future also.
Okay. But also, the squat only lasts for 8 months.
8 months, yeah.
And so it's a bit short, even if a squat is always short, but do you think that there were some, like, I think that in the previous emission radio program, Baylor was explaining that Beaumont was a bit of a failure, because by law for the people who are listening to us is one of the members of the IUP, but he's not there tonight. And he was a bit saying that, like, I don't know if someone wants to...
Sure, it was, Bumo was filled. Indeed, he was very right because there was no control. There was a lot of fights there. There was a lot of problem there also by the people. They disturbed the neighbors a lot, the inhabitants, the fight. Then from there, the people also from the street also, they come, they fight with the inhabitants there. Like, even police, there was police involvement there 2 times before the people were evicted at the building. A lot of problem also.
What did you learn about this experience in Beaumont? Did you take some stuff for your collective, for the IUP people?
Yeah, definitely. This was why, like, when we have another place now, our members, they squatted the other building, which is the San Basil also. All the things that we learned at Beaumont, we decided for it not to happen there. Because Beaumont, there was not control. It's not that, like, you are trying to control person, but at least anywhere that you are living, when you are more than 5, 6, 7, 8 or up to 40 different nationalities also, like, you need to have a rules and regulation in your place. But Bomo, there was no rules and regulation. Everybody was just doing like as you want. So at San Basil now, this one, we never encourage that. What we learned before, so we try not for it not to repeat at the same San Basil. Sorry, at Bomo. What we learned there before, we try not for it not to repeat at San Basil.
Do you want to add something, Usman, on that? On this time in Beaumont? Where are you living there?
By that time, I was not around.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
It's only second to talk more about Beaumont.
Okay.
Amadou.
So you were speaking about San Basil. So after the eviction of Beaumont, after a while, you open again another place, right?
It's not we that open, it's the members of the association that open.
Okay, sure. I'm not saying that for sure.
No, it's okay. Yeah, it's just like to clear something.
Yeah, thank you. And some people of the association opened a new building. When was that?
It was in June 2021.
Okay.
The building was open.
Where is it located?
25 Rue Saint-Basil, okay. At Reforme, behind the La Poste Bank.
So how was the opening of the building? Was it okay? Was it cool?
Well, this one, it was a lot stressful because when the inhabitants, they opened the building, like, there was a lot of police that come there at that particular moment. Then after, when the police come also, they wanted to evict everybody. From there also, we also, like, some people, they call us, Aliu, me, like, Amadou, some of us, we intervene, we come there also. Because, like, we have a lot of links also in Marseille concerning, like, we are dealing with a lot of different people also. So, like, we decided to begin to contact some people to explain the situation about this particular building that, like, a lot of vulnerable people, they squatted a building here, but police are here now. They wanted to remove all the people for them to go outside, and there is no solution for these people. A lot of families there also. So, with the communication information also, so, like, we pass. Then after, like, they just called the police people for them to leave. But that particular moment, it was very stressful. Even there was a double door. They even come with some people like those welder, like they caught. Because people were inside the building, the police asked them to leave, but they don't leave. So they caught the first door to advance now to the second door now. So, like, they just have a call. They told them that for them to leave the building. And even when the police went also, with the neighbors also that we are around also, the neighbors also, they come, they want to fight the inhabitants there also. They said they cannot allow them for them to stay in that particular building.
Why?
Because Bumu and San Basil, like, is just close. Because when...
They knew you from before.
Yeah. It's just close. Because the people that, some people that were living in Bumu, like, they saw them also inside San Basil also, right up also. And these people, when they were living at San Basil, like, all the time there was a big problem. Neighbors, like, they disturb them, they cannot sleep, fight, they saw all the time police are coming, ping-pong, something like that. So with that experience also, and they disturbed them for more than up to 8 months, so, like, they said, what happened there? This one, we will never allow you people also to come and occupy this particular place. Then from there, you continue to disturb us. Because we are here with our family, our wife, our little kids also. We are here in peace. We don't want any disturbance. So this was why that particular moment, it was so very stressful for us that time. But the intervention of us now,
me personally with some people, we went to the neighbors also, we called them politely, we talked to them, we said, okay, now this, we want to talk to you for you guys to understand. The building that is down there and this one is not the same people that are living inside. This is an association. We are an association. Association Users de la Pada. We will promise you that there will be no fights here, no drugs deal, because they complain everything about that. Because when they heard about Squad, they said they are doing prostitution, drugs deal, market, violence, all those stuff. So we told them that here we will control this place. There will be nothing like that. No fight. Nobody will disturb you. Please just allow us to stay in this building. And we have all the name of the people that are going to stay in this building. We talked to them politely. Then after that, they tried to understand. But one thing that they told us, which was very funny that particular moment, they said that, okay, now you guys, we will allow you for you to stay here for just one night. After
no,
the one
no,
night.
Again.
Yes. After this one night, if there is no problem at all, then we will add it two nights without any problem, then we will give you 1 week. But if you cause any problem after that 1 week, we will not wait for police. We will come with our own gang also to remove you guys here. So with that also, we try to obey them, like we try to have a good relationship with them also. Then we respect like what they told us.
Yeah, and it works so
very
far.
well. This is why, like, up to now people are in the building, and for now, as I'm telling you, we have a good relationship with the neighbors. Also, we used to go, we drink cafe together, we watch film together. Some of them, they used to leave their places also. They come at the local of San Basil. We watch the World Cup, we watch football match, everything. Like, we have a good relationship now.
Et avant, moi, je voulais juste préciser juste un petit passage là où mon collègue il a expliqué. Donc, c'est l'expérience de Boumont qui a donné San Basil. Avant, parce que quand vous voyez, il y a des bâtiments à Marseille, tellement des milliers de bâtiments qui sont là, qui sont vides. Il n'y a personne qui s'occupe dans ces bâtiments. L'État il s'en fout pour des personnes migrées qui passent la nuit dehors. Comment est-ce que, en fait, à un moment donné, il faut que tu sacrifies ta vie quand même pour réussir, en fait. Parce que il y a des femmes, des enfants qui passent la nuit dehors. Si l'État n'a pas pensé, le gouvernement et tous les membres de l'État, ils sont pas pensés à laisser ces gens-là dans ces bâtiments qui personne ne passe la nuit dehors. On l'a pas fait pitié, on a fait sortir des gens dehors. Et bon, moi je pense qu'à un moment donné, nous aussi, il faut comprendre l'engagement. Même si on va nous tuer, mais il faut que nous aussi, on essaie quand même de se... On peut pas dire qu'on peut aller faire sortir les habitants qui sont dans le bâtiment pour que nous on reste, mais tous les bâtiments, le bâtiment qu'on savent quand même qu'il n'y a personne, il faut que nous aussi on essaye quand même de rentrer dedans. Avant tout d'abord, au premier, dès que tu arrives, tu appelles 115, tu peux rester 3 jours, appeler 115, on te répond, on prend tout, mais tu peux rester 4 jours, 5 jours, et tu ne peux pas avoir une place là où tu vas dormir. Et imaginez-vous, soit une femme ou bien un enfant qui est malade, tu passes la nuit dehors, pendant ces froids-là, qu'est-ce qui va arriver à ces personnes? La personne, il a une vie, il a besoin de protection, il a besoin d'un toit, là il va dormir. Donc moi je pense qu'avant tout d'abord, c'est d'être héberger les gens, chacun, au moins, pour qu'ils puissent avoir une partie là où il va, au moins se mettre quand même sa tête, au moins pour qu'ils puissent garder sur ces froids qui se passent dehors.
Oui, c'est vrai qu'en début d'émission, on écoutait Aliou qui était à cette manifestation du 115 où on expliquait qu'en fait, il fallait attendre des heures et des heures avant d'avoir possiblement quelqu'un au téléphone. Et en fait, on avait quelque chose comme 5% de chance d'avoir finalement un toit et sinon de finir à la rue. C'est alors qu'au même moment, le PF, donc, qui est le propriétaire du bâtiment de Sainte-Basile, qui est un établissement, qui est une structure publique de l'État, et a des bâtiments vides dans tout Marseille. Et là, ce bâtiment de Sainte-Basile, et il y en a d'autres, était un bâtiment qui était vide depuis des mois et des mois et qui ne servait à personne.
Voilà, vous voyez ce que Mohamed lui-même, il avait déjà dit. En fait, quand on est déjà parti, on a occupé ce bâtiment. On a déjà pris la décision. Même si la police vient, il nous affronte avec des armes. On peut pas quitter. Où on peut aller? Vous nous donnez pas là où vous ne montrez pas là où on peut aller. Au moins vous nous dites que bon, restez là, ou bien vous nous donnez des 115 pour qu'on puisse héberger les gens. Et mais pour nous aussi, on peut pas rester comme ça. Et on s'en fout de nous, et nous aussi, on ne peut pas dire qu'on s'en fout de nous-mêmes. Donc, on est parti casser la porte, on a resté dedans, les policiers sont venus pour faire tout possible pour nous déloger, mais impossible. Donc, on est resté comme ça. À un moment donné, ils ont eu un coup d'appel et aujourd'hui, voilà, ça me passe.
Et alors aujourd'hui? Et combien de personnes, how many people are living there? What is happening in San Basile now?
Well, before the beginning, like they, we are more than 40 people we are living there. But after some time, maximum day we are 30. Before 40 something. After some time, 40. Then after, now like we have up to 38. 37 or 38. Mm. Because like the people that we are living at San Basile, before like all the people like, they were in the system, living there. Some of them, like, when they have their normal procedure, they were in their normal procedure. Then from there, like, they have their cadre places. And the law is that when you have your cadre places, you don't have the right to stay in San Basile. Automatically, you have to go to your cadre. Then from there, we bring another person also that is sleeping outside to replace the person. So, like, this was the plan.
And Ousmane, as you lived in San Basile before you get your CADA, can you explain a bit what was your life in San Basile, like how it was for you to live in San Basile?
Yeah, I was very happy because by that time I don't have anywhere to stay. So when I was staying in San Basile, I was very comfortable and I have friends like Sanusi, Bayolo, Aliou, they are just like family, we always come together, we chat. I was very comfortable, like home. I was very comfortable and happy there.
Well, and I'm also thinking about the fact that in San Basile there are some activities like it's an hosting place, like somewhere you can sleep, you can rest. And you have your accommodation, but it's also there are a lot of activities. And can you explain a bit about it? And what was your project about it?
Yes, because we used to have like every Sunday we have to clean the place. That is part of the law there. Every Sunday you have to clean and take care of the kitchen and the toilet. Mm. So that makes the place very decent. You know, yeah.
And you organize also permanencies?
And also the permanent and the red matter distribution. I used to help them. I used to go every Saturday to help Bailo there. Every Saturday I used to go there to help too.
Et juste pour préciser, en fait, San Basile, depuis nous qu'on a occupé San Basile est vraiment strict. En fait, on a imposé des lois à San Basile. Et en fait, au jour d'aujourd'hui, avec les lois qu'on a mis là-bas, tout est déjà respecté parce que San Basile, tout est déjà structuré en fait. Parce qu'on a toutes les nationalités différentes. Ce n'est pas disque, ouais, c'est des nationalités. On a des Léonais, on a des Nigériens, on a des Ghanéens, la femme qui.
Syria.
Voilà, Syria. On a toutes les nationalités différentes. Et puis nous sommes tous. Tout le monde respecte les lois qu'on a mis dedans. Par exemple, chaque semaine, tous les gens qui sont dans le bâtiment A, B, chacun sait le jour là où il va nettoyer pour faire des ménages. Donc, on passe, s'il y a des problèmes, on appelle les responsables. Nous, les responsables, on peut aller au moins voir ce qui se passe dedans, on résolue. Et surtout aussi, on organise aussi des... On avait des informatiques. En bas, il y avait des habitants qui descendent faire les informatiques, les cours de français aussi. On avait organisé à San Basile qui se passe bien avec les habitants.
Yes, so like I just want to buttress on what Ousmane and Amadou they are saying concerning San Basile, the beginning, because what we experienced before at Bomo, at even in Boulevard Dada, so like we try for the same thing not to happen in San Basile also. One, when we went there, we call all the inhabitants, we have a meeting, we put a specific law, all of us. We put a law, here is just for accommodation. There is no drugs deal, there is no prostitution. You can't sell any market here. If you want to sell market, you can go out, you go and sell to Nuwai or anywhere. You can do that one there also. When you are playing a music also, like you have to play it for yourself in your room. Don't disturb others. There is no fight there. We put all the laws together, all of us. We sit there, then from there, like, we talk about that. Anybody, like, violate this particular law, it's not Amadou or Senesi or Ali or Usman. One of us will take decision about this particular person that violates the law. But we used to call a meeting. Then from there, the person that violates this particular law, we explain, then we advise you one time, two times. If you still continue, then we all have to take a drastic decision against you for you to leave the place. Because one person cannot give a cause for 40 people for them to go out of the building. And the activities that you are talking about also, like what Amadou was saying, we are doing French class in the, because now it's already stopped, the contract finished now. We are doing French classes for the inhabitants. This is just for the inhabitants. Because even
and some the, people, and the computer course too.
Yes. Because why we said the inhabitant, because some of a lot of people, like journalists, when they used to come at the building also, they asked us, they said, why don't you make it for another people also, migrants also that are outside, maybe they are interested. But this one, it was complicated for us. We told them the reality, because before at Bumu, when the French classes was going on there, it was not for just the inhabitant only. We open it, people were coming that we are not even staying in the building. They come and join. But when they were coming, they don't respect. Even the French teachers also, the people that we are teaching, they do some stuff with them like which was very out of order. So this was why we said now we want to have a full control of this building. We don't want any involvement of any police issue. Here, we have our own rules and regulation. The people that we are here with, so like we understand each other. So like this French class, the computer class, is just for them strictly. Then even every Sunday, we used to have a meeting. Before Newley, we used to have two meetings, Sunday and something like Thursday. Because why is very important? Because there are 7 different nationalities that is living in San Basile. Like for we, like you come from different sides, this come from different sides, this come from. It's not the same attitude. If we don't communicate all the time, like we will continue to have problem. So this was why all the time we call all the inhabitants, we sit, we eat together, we do everything together, then we communicate with each other. So this was why, like, it was very perfect in San Basile.
Just a last question, but just to know, like, you are speaking a lot about the rules, and now you are speaking about this meeting, which is really important to communicate with each other. And I was just thinking, how did you make that rules? Like, now we know a bit some of the rules of San Basile, and this was really interesting, but how did you make it? Like, it was before the creation of the building, like, not the creation, but... an opening, or it was after. How did you do?
Well, this is very simple. The time, like when we occupy the building, after the police go, when we have peace with the neighbors also, then with a lot of experience that we already have before, as I said, we don't want this one to happen again. We sit, then from there we think twice, let's create a rules. Wherein we can understand each other very well, because without any rules in this building, there will must be a problem, and the problem will continue. But the creation of the rules, it was after the building was occupied. Then we create all the rules. Now we call a meeting with the inhabitants. Everybody then from there, we spell everything to everyone.
Okay, thank you. And maybe we can have a little break. A little musical break.
A little just one love.
A little one love. Which is a classic on our emission.
Be Christ is holy and a Gideon.
One love.
So when the man comes, there will be no, no doom.
One song.
Have pity on those whose chances grow thin. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Yeah, yeah.
Le peuple dit non à la famille classique. C'est du braquage, braquage, braquage de pouvoir. Le peuple ne veut plus de la famille classique. Ils sont en train de combattre la démocratie acquise dans le sang, acquise dans la souffrance. Ils veulent installer un autre système. Ce système ressemble au népotisme. Ils veulent installer, installer ce qu'ils veulent au détriment du peuple. Tout pour la famille, au détriment du peuple. Rien pour nos familles. C'est du braquage, braquage, braquage de pouvoir. Le peuple dit non à la famille classique. C'est du braquage, braquage, braquage de pouvoir. Le peuple ne veut plus de la famille classique. Depuis que là-bas, ils ont gardé le pouvoir en famille. Après l'exemple du Togo, le Tchad est au garde à vous. D'autres pays pourraient s'en inspirer. Et la démocratie est en danger. Allons-nous oublier le combat de nos pères qui ont crié à la prise du pouvoir. La prise du pouvoir par le peuple. On ne peut pas faire ça. J'ai dit non, on dit non, le peuple dit non. On ne peut pas faire ça. C'est du braquage, braquage, braquage.
Et de retour sur le plateau de Alors la zone, ça dit squat sur Radio Galère qui porte si bien son nom. 88.4 FM. So we were talking about San Basile and like the life in San Basile. Maybe we can talk a bit about right now, like about, because in San Basile there is a convention, right? Like,
sure.
Can we speak a bit about that? Can you explain us, Sinesha?
Well, now the convention is almost coming to an end.
Hey.
Because like this is a little bit stressful for us also.
Really?
Because before, like, we do the convention with the proprietor. Because why we do this one, we should have, if not because of this convention, like, we should have go out of this building for a long time. Because we know there is a lot of squats. When you squat, if you go to the legal procedure, like, with the DCA, like, for the African migrant, like, most of the time, like, 8 months, 9 months maximum, or 1 year, like they remove you outside. So like, this was why we find this particular solution. Now we said, now there is a lot of building empty places in Marseille here. So what are we going to do? Now let's do a convention. Because why we do this convention now, we need our own credibility now. Because after when this one work with us very well now, we can try to challenge also to see the empty buildings that are in Marseille, which are closed, to try to negotiate with the landlord also. We will tell them that, okay, we need this building. Then from there, we want to continue the project. After your when the time of your project reaches, from that, like, we can give you the building. But for now, the moment, the convention, now we already do it since long, and the convention now is coming to an end.
So explain us a bit, the convention is between the AUP and who?
The convention, like, is like, is different association. The landlord is there, we do the convention with the landlord. But it's not just the AUP. That, because if it's just the AUP, like, we cannot able to do this convention. Okay. We have the Just Association. They come in, they are responsible, like, for the electrical problem, like, to take care of the building. Any problem, like, they are responsible for that, for the technical side. They are there. We have the FAP. These people are the one also that used to give us money to sponsor, like, when there is a problem, like, electrical problem, like, to buy all those stuff also. We are working together. We have the ASH Association also, like, it's a big association also. They are the one also that signed this particular convention contract with the landlord. So, like, for the ASH, if any problem that occur in San Basile or any danger in terms of fire or death, is the ASH Association, they will hold responsible.
Okay.
So it's four different associations that come together. We sign this particular convention.
John Regis.
Yeah. Just John Regis.
Just,
yeah.
Okay.
And the convention is about to finish. When is it, like, the... Like,
yeah, it will finish on the 31st of March.
Oh, so it's next...
Very next year.
Okay.
Next month.
Soon. And do you have a plan for the next, or not now, or do you still want to continue?
Yes, obviously we still want to continue with this particular project, because it's a good project. It helps a lot of people, a lot of vulnerable people also. We want to continue, but now, like, we don't have any present solution yet, like, to continue the project also. Because now in terms of accommodation also, like, the accommodation, you know, me know, it's very difficult in Marseille. Even there is a lot of French citizens, me, I know a lot that don't have accommodation. They are sleeping outside. So, like, we want to continue. This is why, like, we are working with everybody, different associations. We are calling on different people for them to come together. Let them see our struggle. Let them see our fights, what we are going through. We will still want to continue with this particular project. But for now, we don't know how. But we are still on the mission.
Mm.
And there is no way that you will stay in this building, in any case?
No, there is no way. Because, okay, like, before, we should have go outside since long. Mm. But it's just because of this convention, we asked them that, okay, please give us this time, the 31st of March, like, we can hand over you this building. There is no way to stay in the building.
Because it was opened in...
In June 2021.
21.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. A bit less than 2 years, like mm-hmm. 1 year and a half.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
But you still want, like, to have, like, a kind of place where people can live and organize themselves. It's still, like, one of your collective one, like, wants to do.
Yeah, what we want is place. No matter, we just need place, which is a place, not a peri place, because a peri place is not good for the safety of the people. But we need place, any place, like... There is no problem, because instead of, like, place 1 room, 5 room, 10 room, like, apartments, we need different places, because, like, a lot of people are outside there. So, like, if we have those places also, like, it would be very perfect for us.
Maybe in the next convention you can sign for, like, force the owner to ensure you to have another building at the end, because like the EPF has a lot of buildings which are empty.
This is why, like, you know, anything, the starting is the most difficult thing. This is why when we started it, like, we just need our credibility, because, like, with our credibility now, when we succeed on this one now, we can begin to go outside there to talk to another different owners also, tell them that instead of you close this building, you have no use of it now. We are here. We want to take charge of this building. If your project will happen in 1 year time or 2 year time. Give us the building, let's sign a paper. After the 2 years we will occupy, we will guarantee that there will be no problem. Your electricity bill, your light, water bill, everything, we will be responsible for it, because that is why we are working with different associations. So like when we have our own credibility now, like this one, we can use it everywhere.
Yeah, while you are speaking about credibility, I know that there was a big mediatization of your project at San Basil. Like a lot of journalists came.
Sure.
Like, yeah. And what do you think about it? And what did that bring to you?
Like, oh, what is your point?
What did you... Did you plan the mediatization, like the fact that a lot of journalists will come to visit you?
Like, this is very simple. You know, journalists are just there for them to have good information, or anywhere they have a lot of information. They just wanted to come there to know what's happening, how do you do this, which strategy do you use to do these things, all those stuff. Journalists come from Paris because there is a lot of newspaper about San Basil, because it was very interesting. Because, like, according to the information that we already get, they said this one, it never happened in the history of France for asylum seekers to come in France to do a cadre autorisé, self-managed cadre. So people were very interested of this. They come from different places, like, just to come and ask us, what strategy do we use to build this particular system? So like, we never invite them, but they just come to Marcel, like, to come and contact, to talk, talk with us.
Mm-mm. And now you are speaking about the self-managed CADA, and we didn't use that word for now. However, it's one of the big names of San Basil, self-managed CADA. And what does it mean for you, a self-managed CADA?
It's we, the asylum people, that find a solution for ourselves. So this is self-managed CADA. We cannot go and say, sure, Prefecture manage CADA or the manage CADA. No, with the asylum seekers, we come, like, we use our own strategy. Like, we did this is just self-managed CADA or temporal housing.
Did you try to put like the self-managed CADA on the front of San Basil?
Wow! As you go to San Basil, you will see the board there, like residents. I don't know. I forget something. Amadou. I don't know the board that is there, like what resident,
because temporal
resident, because me, I don't live there, obviously. I don't live there. The board is there, like just in front of the door, like you see it's there.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
And you are also like right now struggling against the new law Darmanin, which is coming in the next month. We wanted like to take some minutes to finish this broadcast to talk about it, the loi Darmanin, and what you are doing like to fight against this law. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, you were part of the organizers of the first General Assembly against that law. So you were clearly taking part of the struggle, which is now beginning against that law. And maybe we wanted to discuss a bit about why this subject is important for the IUP. Like, now we have some hints of the answer, because we are here speaking since an hour. But maybe, yes, to know... why for the AUP it was something that you can't miss, like you go in that struggle. Sorry, okay. it was not clear.
Ouais, moi tu peux me poser la question en français.
Ouais. Non mais du coup je disais que l'AUP elle était une des organisatrices d'une première assemblée générale qui s'est tenue contre la loi Darmanin, et que l'association s'est engagée dans la lutte contre la loi Darmanin dès le les débuts, et dès le début l'AUP a été présente à Marseille, et du coup je voulais savoir un peu pourquoi c'était important pour vous cette lutte, et voilà.
Et en fait la loi Darmanin, en fait, l'AIP, il faut que l'AIP concerné sur l'AIP est beaucoup concerné sur cette loi. Parce que non seulement la loi est déjà posée au niveau de l'Assemblée nationale. Donc, je pense qu'ils ne sont pas commencés à appliquer ces lois. Mais moi, je peux dire que la loi est déjà commencée à appliquer, en fait. Donc, c'est des lois. Bon, avant tout, d'abord, moi, je me demande la question si toutes ces lois qui sont en train de poser, c'est pour les migrants ou bien si c'est pour, si c'est pour tout le monde, en fait. Parce que ces lois, ce sont des lois et moi, je peux considérer ces lois, c'est des... Comment je peux l'appeler ça? C'est des lois qui ne sont pas bonnes, en fait, pour la question d'asile. Et il y a toute une stigmatisation dedans, en fait. Donc, je me demande si la France réellement, le nom de France qu'on entend, si c'est la liberté, égalité, fraternité réellement, la France. Parce que on dit la liberté, égalité, fraternité, mais ça, on entend, mais on ne voit pas ça réellement sur le terrain. Quand j'entends Monsieur Darmanin, qu'on dise au niveau des lois la question de la langue française et pour les travail, comment je peux l'appeler,
secteur sous tension,
le métier en tension. Si par exemple un migrant qui vient de l'autre côté en Afrique, qui n'a jamais été à l'école, comment on peut dire la personne là pour qu'il puisse avoir un niveau de français, je peux dire par exemple un bac, quelqu'un qui n'a jamais allé à l'école, pour obtenir un titre de séjour là où c'est écrit au moins autorisation de travail. Moi je pense que ça c'est inacceptable. C'est une façon de dénigrer, en fait, c'est une façon de racisme, c'est une façon de dénigration, en fait. Aujourd'hui, le gouvernement investit de l'argent pour créer des centres de rétention, des milliers d'argent. Pourquoi n'utilise pas cet argent au niveau des demandeurs d'asile?
Excuse-moi, Amadou, est-ce que tu peux expliquer ce que c'est un centre de rétention? Parce que je pense qu'il y a des gens qui savent pas.
En fait, le centre de rétention, c'est un centre qu'on détenit toutes les gens qui ont des problèmes de QTF, en fait. Par exemple, si tu as un QTF, ou bien si tu es là, tu n'as pas de papier, ou bien que ce soit un demandeur de papier, ou bien que ce soit une personne qui n'a pas une identité. Parce que moi, je ne peux pas dire qu'il n'y a pas quelqu'un qui n'a pas une identité. On est tous là, tout le monde a une identité. On est tous là des demandeurs de papiers, mais chacun a une identité. Donc, en fait, le centre de rétention, c'est construit uniquement pour des étrangers, en fait. Parce que moi, je peux dire pour des étrangers. Il n'y a pas d'autres personnes ils ne sont pas créés ça pour d'autres personnes. C'est pour nous, l'immigration, en fait. Qu'est-ce que les migrations ont, quels crimes qui sont commis de mettre ces gens-là dans ces centres de rétention? Aujourd'hui, allez-y vous voir les gens qui sont là-bas. Quand vous écoutez les personnes qui sont enfermées dans ces centres-là, franchement, c'est des histoires poignantes, en fait. Vous ne pouvez pas imaginer dans les conditions qu'on peut attraper ces gens-là, on met ces gens-là dans les CR. Et je vais revenir sur les lois de Darmanin, en fait. Les lois Darmanin, et c'est des lois, par exemple, c'est des lois, c'est inacceptable. On peut pas. Ils ont dit ces lois là, mais je sais pas comment on peut dire ça. C'est impossible quand même de donner les gens. Darmanin a dit que quelqu'un qui a un niveau de français, par exemple, plus élevé. Et si tu as, par exemple, 8 fiches de paye, où moi je peux trouver 8 fiches de paie, j'ai même pas là où je peux aller dormir en fait. J'ai pas une formation, j'ai pas allé à l'école. Où je peux trouver 8 fiches de paie? Quel patron qui peut prendre un engagement pour aller à la préfecture tous les jours pour se présenter? Et moi je peux prendre par exemple Amadou. Et voilà, il est compétent de ça. C'est impossible.
Oui. Est-ce qu'il n'y a pas aussi un enjeu à comprendre cette loi? Parce que, comme tu le disais tout à l'heure, il y a la situation administrative. Juste faire ses papiers en France, c'est très compliqué si tu ne veux pas aller à l'école, si tu ne connais pas la langue française, s'il y a beaucoup de si qui font que c'est très compliqué d'avoir ses papiers. Mais alors comprendre une loi qui n'a pas encore été votée, mais qui va être votée sur les droits, sur ses propres droits, sur les droits de personnes immigrées qui n'ont pas encore de papiers, ça va être très compliqué. Comment vous, à l'AUP, vous arrivez à en parler aux autres, à mettre d'autres gens dans la barque, d'autres gens des usagers de la PADA? Est-ce que vous en parlez? Vous faites des réunions? Vous faites des manifestations? Comment ça se passe pour rassembler et pour faire parler de cette loi qui va être votée?
Et bon, en fait, pour ces lois, on est en train de discuter sur ces sujets pour voir quelle est la disposition que nous, on va prendre. Parce qu'en ce moment, ça est en cours parce que on est en train de se voir parce qu'il y avait des réunions partout qui sont en train de tenir partout. En fait, on a une permanence juridique. Bon, nous, on juge d'abord à travers des personnes qui viennent au niveau de la préfecture. Parce que dès qu'on voit comment ça se passe au niveau de l'administration, on peut comprendre directement les lois, ils sont appliquées ou pas. En même temps, on faisait des réunions pour discuter pour ces sujets, voir quelle est la solution qu'on peut... voir comment on peut combattre pour ces fléaux, en fait.
We are going to the end of this radio program, but still, what do you want to do now facing this law? Like, what are your perspectives? Like, what do you imagine to build against this law? Do you have some ideas at the AUP of things to help, which will help the struggle against that law?
Well, for we the AUP, we cannot just fight alone. So our idea, we are thinking, is just for us to continue to fight together as different with different collective, everybody like, because like this is concern all the migrant people. This is why like we are going outside there to explain with the AUP, to explain to the asylum seekers also that please let's come together, let's be united. Let's try to work with the other different European, different collective people also. Let's have a meeting within each and other. Then from there, we should try how to talk, analyze about this new law, because like this one, it's completely dangerous for us. Then from there, we can do a demonstration. With a demonstration also, I think, like we give our message to the people that this law is something which is not good for us. But the AUP alone, like we cannot do something against this particular law. But with a group of different collective also, I think like we can try to achieve our goals.
Okay, we're gonna have to finish this broadcast. Thank you, Amadou, Ousmane, and Sinesie to came to our broadcast today to Alors la zone ça dit squat.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And comme tous les mois, on vous retrouvera peut-être le mois prochain, le troisième lundi du mois, pour une nouvelle émission sur Radio Galère 88.4.
Et oui. Toujours à 20h.
Et merci beaucoup, merci d'avoir nous invité à la Radio Galère. Et bon, merci aux auditeurs aussi qui nous écoutent. Et voilà, merci à tout le monde.
Bah ouais, merci.
Merci bien sûr à la technique.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci d'avoir supervisé cette super
technique. Merci, technicien, merci.
Sans qui rien ne serait possible. Allez.
Merci à vous.
C'est pour qui? La liberté, l'égalité, fraternité, solidarité, des récipients, un bout de papier. Ouyou la main, ouyou la main, ouyou la main.